hate to move this because I know it's been adjusted for the choir, but you can hear me from here. I'll speak up and out. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It is so wonderful to see such cheery faces, and I'm glad to be here myself. I am so excited to see out in our audience so many members of the choir that sang Christmas carols last week. What fun we had. Oh my gosh, it was great. So next year, I hope that we'll see even more choir members as well as other congregants. You don't have to be a choir member, isn't that right, Dina, to be able to sing in the choir. You just have to have a willingness to go out with others and spread the joy. So that was neato, neato, neato. And so for this morning, if someone has a choice of a song, we'll get right there. Yes, and that will be?
Number 237, Sing We Now at Christmas.
237, numbers 1 and 4. Sing We Now at Christmas. Have another one. Trudy, I thought you had your hand up there. Well, she does have her hand up.
How about 236?
236, right next door. Do you have a choice of verses?
One and six.
While shepherds watch their flocks. Another that we would like to sing. Do we have a hand up in the air that can tell us another song? Yes, I see Deb back there. 238. Wow, we've got a little neighborhood going here. Angels We Have Heard on High. One and two. I think that was two. She's testing my eyes. One and two. Number 238.
Oh,
beautiful. And we still have time for more. I may have started a singing a little early, but I just love to sing these songs. Yes, Dina.
251.
Go tell it on the mountain. Shall we do 1 and 2? 1 and 3? 1 and 3. Number 251. Go tell it on the mountain. Of songs that I'm just waiting to sing.
Well, why did you pick one?
Oh, golly. Okay, let's, Infant, Holy, Infant, Lowly, number 229. You know it. Infant, Holy, Lowly. Okay, she knows it. There. Verses 1 and 2.
Infant holy, infant holy, for his bed a cradle stall. Oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swiftly weaving, angels singing, now bells ringing, tidings bringing.
Rachel wants to sing 196. Let's sing it loud and clear. It is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Two verses, 1 and 2. Number 196. It's 9:28. If we had a 1.5 minute song, we could still sing it before 9:30. What? How about Good Christians Friends Rejoice? We can just sing one verse. It's number 224. Verse. And if I'm accurate, I think it is tomorrow in Israel. Just a piece of information. Thank you for joining in our hymn sing.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith, and Merry Christmas. It's great to see everybody here. Just in case you're wondering, Susan and I are kind of doing tag team lay leader today, so she got to lead the music, but you get me for good or ill for the remainder of the service. So,
just make sure you have the AM one. Got it.
Okay. And at this time, I think we'll be having we'll be doing greetings and announcements first. Okay. First off, we still have one last Sunday to remember our December birthdays. Merry Christmas and happy birthday to anybody who may be here today. And hopefully all of our December folks have had great birthdays this month. Also, if you haven't picked up a newsletter, there should be a copy in the back that's still available, or you could contact the office to get one. And we have our Saturday movies coming up, and the next ones are January 6th, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. I have seen it. It's a great one. Come out and see it. And that'll be in the Faith Theater number 2. And our January Luncheon with the Pastor, it will occur on January 10th, and again at Legend 8 China in Cala Mesa. It is $15, and I hear it's a great time to commiserate with our pastor and to enjoy some good food as well as some fellowship together. And of course, we are the cereal church, and that means please bring your boxes of cereal so that we can provide those to the food pantry here in Yucaipa and assist those who are in need of some food. And also a reminder that Stephen, he's here today, is still collecting clothing for his ministry to the outreach to the folks who are leaving our correctional facilities and may need some clothing to get them on their way as they enter into their next stage of their lives. And Hearts Grow, again, that's the second and fourth Sundays. And the children can come before the sermon and stay till the end of fellowship. And that occurs, I believe, is that next door? Is that where they meet?
Yes.
That way, yes, okay, that way. And, yeah, so that is, I'll keep that on your calendars, and that'll be coming up. I think that's all the announcements, unless there's anybody else. All right. And all right, and do we have our, yes, okay, yes, if our Advent folks would please come forward.
Advent folks.
Yes. Mary and Mary.
Jesus came to this world as the Prince of Peace. Israel was under the rule of the Romans, which implemented peace according to their political ideals. In the end, however, the vast empire ceased to exist, but the peace of Christ continues to transform our lives today and eternally.
Today, we light the candle of Christ's peace.
Seven centuries before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.
He will reign on David's throne, and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Thank you for the promise of peace amid conflicts, hatred, and hostility. Peace may seem far off in the world, but we still find your peace in our hearts and lives. Please help us be peacemakers in the world today. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, if you'd please stand as you're able for our call to worship. Christ is born, give him glory.
Christ has come down from heaven, receive him.
Christ is on earth, exalt him.
All you nations, praise him in joy.
And if you'd please remain standing for our hymn, O Come, All Ye Faithful. And if you please, just take a few moments and turn to those around you and greet them in the love of our Lord.
extend our welcome and wish all those who have come to join us via Zoom Merry, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Helen. So good to see you. And June and Joyce, so good to see you. Joyce, finally, Merry Christmas to you, to both of you. And George has come from Hawaii, and he's going to stay here in Yucaipa. Merry Christmas, George. And Merry Christmas to Mel, and Merry Christmas to Alicia.
And at this time, we'll have our sharing of our joys and concerns. Deb will bring a mic to you. If you have a joy or concern, just raise your hand.
It's really nice to have the choir here. That's my joy today.
I know. Yes. There are so many of them. Mm-hmm. It sounds wonderful.
We prayed for my nephew, who lives in Ohio. He was hit by a car, and he was on a motorcycle, but he was not guilty of anything. And so his pelvis was fractured, but he's doing very well. So thank you all for praying for him.
And your nephew's name?
Sorry, Matt.
Matt, yes. Pray for Matt for healing and recovery.
I'd like prayers for my sister, Melissa Higginson, my younger sister. She has lupus, and it's been well controlled over many decades with medication, but recently things have been getting a little out of control, and she's pretty miserable and having a very bad time. So I would like prayers for Melissa, please.
Thank you.
And continue to pray for Rachel.
My brother-in-law, Pat, he's diagnosed a couple years ago with Alzheimer's, but he's been a professional pilot for many years, but now he's starting to kind of rapidly deteriorate. My youngest granddaughter, Zelda, has been diagnosed with leukemia. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, it is the type that's most common in children, and it has a pretty good prognosis, but she's in the hospital right now and undergoing chemo and should be released this week, but it's going to be about 2.5 years. It'll be a long haul, pretty rough. She's 3.
Oh, goodness.
Thank you.
She had a visit from the firefighters and brought them Christmas, brought her and her sisters Christmas present and all that stuff, right? So that's great.
Good morning, and I have a joy. My first joy is that I'm sitting back here, and I'm next to Darlene Coleman that I haven't seen for such a long time, and it's just wonderful to see her here, and she brought her grandson, or somehow that worked out. So that's a joy. But secondly, another joy I have, and I have to relate back to our caroling that we did. It was so wonderful, and I especially loved when we visited Ralph Snook at his place down at Plymouth Village, and we got to entertain him as well as his dinner mates. And I don't know, we probably sang 5 or 6 songs or maybe even more, but he looked so content and so healthy. I think he may have gained a pound or two, but then who hasn't?
I am Judy Salveson, and I have a real joy. As of 48 hours and 25 minutes ago, I am a grandma. They had an 8-pound, 5-ounce baby boy, and his name is Cannon Walker Salveson.
Very nice.
Congratulations.
Deb, if you don't mind, right next to you is a gentleman who is visiting us this morning. So if you don't mind, please introduce.
This is Robert. So, welcome, Robert.
Welcome, Robert. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. I have a joy. Yesterday, my sister Jean, who lives in Fontana, invited Allison and Emily, the babies, and me down for dinner. Two joys for me. I got to see the babies again, and I got dinner. Great. Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute. Okay, June has something. You gotta unmute, June.
While June is walking on the microphone in
there. I'm sorry, I was just leaving. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, June.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Merry Christmas, June. Merry Christmas, Joyce, and all of you.
Very nice.
And
very
George.
Nice. We enjoy visiting her and the resident at the Golden Walks during Christmas caroling. And before we go into the time of prayer, I'd like to give you a little bit of that warning. For the silent prayer part, we're going to take a little longer time than usual so that we can really have the moment of prayer in silence. So that's what we're going to try a bit. Okay?
At this time, if you'd please join with me in the unison prayer, and you can find on the PowerPoint screen. Let us pray. O Jesus, Emmanuel, how good it is that you are in our lives. You are the shining star that casts out darkness from our path. You are the fountain of exceeding joy that keeps us singing praises. You quench our thirst and fill our every longing with life-giving water. Your gentle touch transforms thorny affairs into a beautiful flower garden. You brought the glory of heaven and everlasting peace unto us on Christmas Day. O Jesus, God's begotten Son, may we continue this life of happiness in you for the rest of our lives. Amen.
And let us go into the time of silent prayer, remembering all those prayers that has brought to our attention, asking God for healing for those who need God's healing touch and God's presence in their lives. Lord Jesus, we humbly admit that you are with us. We go through different phases of this lifelong journey, where life circumstance changes every time, and we face new challenges, new realities, new problems. But, oh Lord, we recognize your presence without failing. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are walking with us. When we rejoice, filled with happiness in our life, we recognize your presence. You are the source of joy and happiness in our life. On this Christmas Eve, O Lord, we recognize you in the life of our loved ones, in all different places of our life. We recognize that you are working on our behalf. Your presence with us, O Lord, is undeniable. We can feel you. We can reach out to you and touch you. We can hear your voice whispering to our ears and onto our hearts. We feel you in every possible way. But, O Lord, we are tempted. We go into the time of trial, and our hearts are filled with doubt about your presence. But over and over again, you come to us and manifest your presence with us. So we thank you. We are weak and feeble, O Lord. We therefore need the constant reminder of your presence upon our journey. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your presence unto us over and over again. So, Lord, as we gather together to worship you, we praise you for your unfailing love. We praise you for your everlasting presence upon our lives. There are many areas that we experience trouble, O Lord. And we wonder how this problem is going to be solved. But we just hold on to you, O Lord. We hold on to your presence. And we know in the end, everything will turn out to serve us for better. In the end, your power will be manifested, and we will all experience your presence and your power, your healing, transformation of our lives, and we will give you praise for what you do in our life. So, Lord, we lift up our praises and thanksgiving unto you and ask you to strengthen us, encourage us, empower us, that we may continue on our lifelong journey with the assurance of your presence in our life. You are in our life. You are our guide. You are the preparer for what is to come unto us. And you have wonderful plans for us. And to your will, we yield, acknowledging that you are our God, that you are our God of Emmanuel. So as a community of faith, recognizing who you are and your presence, we now join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is The Night Before Jesus, written by Herbert Brokering, illustrated by David Miles. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. 'Twas the night before Jesus when all through the earth every creature was stirring for a baby's new birth. The people were looking straight up and then down, to the left, to the right, both in country and town. Some faces were watching far out in the sky, believing God's Son would be soon coming by. In Bethlehem, children were snug in their beds, with dreams of olives and figs in their heads. Sheep had just baaed their last sleepy bleat, and the shepherds were tired, weary, and beat. When up in the air there arose such a clatter, the shepherds saw angels and asked, "What's the matter?" They jumped to their feet and stood straight and tall, and saw thousands of angels and heard angels call. It sounded like glory, looked bright as can be. It was hard to believe, it was so hard to see. But what to their wondering eyes did appear but glory around them, so loud and so near? It happened so sudden, it happened so quick. Was it real? Was it true? Or was it a trick? More rapid than eagles, the shepherds then came, found Mary and Joseph, and whispered his name. It is Jesus, the Savior, Messiah, God's Son, Emmanuel, the Lord. He is all and each one. They fell to their knees, way down on the ground. How good to receive him, the one they had found. The shepherds saw Jesus, they almost did cry, for Jesus, their Savior, had surely come by. So straight up the hillside their running feet flew, with their eyes full of Jesus, their hearts now like new. Far away, wise men stood on some roof, searching the skies for biblical proof. Night after night they hunted with care for a sign of God's love in some stars up there. "There," each one shouted, "out in the east," and they mounted with haste on their two-humped beast. One wise man with gold had a little round tummy. The frankincense wise man smelled yummy, yum, yummy. The gift of rare myrrh had been packed in a can, for Jesus would need it when he was a man. They were soon filled with questions from head down to toe. They asked, "Where's the king? We truly must know." They traveled so long and traveled so far and followed their hearts and came to the star. Each face of the wise men was grim for a while, then slowly each cheek returned to a smile. They saw that God gave his son to the earth. They took up God's gift, putting theirs on the earth. There was no more to do, there was no more to say. This was God's world, and this was God's day. As the Christ child blinked slowly while turning his head, the wise men knew then they had nothing to dread. They spoke not a word as they headed for home. They were thankful to God that Christ Jesus had come. Christ was on earth. The old was like new. Now people could see what God could do. It's the night before Jesus, from ground to the sky, and Jesus the Savior will surely come by. So we know, and you know, that God is in sight. God blessings to all, and to all a good night. The end. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. May we be thankful for the gift of God's Son to us. Amen.
You may remain seated for our next hymn, which is The First Noel. The scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And it's titled, The Shepherds and the Angels. Now in that same region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I extend the warm Christmas greeting to each and every one of you in this beautifully decorated sanctuary, and to everyone who has come to join us via Zoom. And I pray for the same blessing of God upon each and every one of you as well. Three ladies diligently serve God and God's people, enjoyed their lives as singles, and died in their old age on the same day. Saint Peter welcomed them at the pearly gate and informed them that rewards were waiting for them, but they had to abide by one rule. The rule was, don't step on the ducks. The women did not understand the rule until they finally entered heaven and saw ducks everywhere. They thought the following just one rule should be easy enough. Not a day passed before the first lady stepped on a duck, and Saint Peter swiftly appeared and took her to the ugliest man in heaven, bald and fat, with a face resembling that of blobfish. Then Saint Peter changed the woman to the man and said that because she stepped on a duck, she had to spend all eternity with him. A few weeks went by without any incident. The second woman was cautiously walking, but tripped and fell onto a duck. Sure enough, Saint Peter appeared and changed her to another ugly man. Because she did not violate the rule for a few weeks in heaven, the man was less hideous than the last. A few months went by, and the third lady still hadn't stepped on a duck. Suddenly, Saint Peter appeared and chained her to the most beautiful man in heaven. 6'3", ripped with golden blondy hair. What could I have possibly done in my life to deserve being changed to someone as beautiful as you? Asked the third lady. The gorgeous looking man answered, I don't know about you, but I stepped on a duck.
Wow.
what could we have possibly done in our life to deserve Christ and His grace? Have we satisfied any qualification to receive His love? We surely have stepped on ducks so many times, knowingly and unknowingly, and violated God's law. But why are we given the most beautiful man who has ever lived on the face of the earth to spend eternity with him? An answer is found in what Christ did, beginning from his birth. Do you know that the birth of Jesus speaks of his death in more than multiple ways? The presence of a shepherd at the birth indicate very clearly that he came as a sacrificial lamb of God. Prophecies of the Messiah as a sacrificial lamb were spoken through the Passover and the temple worship repeatedly through the Old Testament. The presence of shepherd is also related to Jesus being our shepherd. Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah in Isaiah 41, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Jesus acknowledged himself as a good shepherd and emphasized in John 10 that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So the presence of the shepherds speak of the death of the Messiah. The present that the Magi brought also spoke of the Messiah's death as well. The gold is a symbol of the kingship of Jesus. Jesus came in the lineage of King David as prophesied by many prophets in the Old Testament, and especially by the prophet Zechariah. He said, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus acknowledged that he was. The very charge against Jesus placed on the cross was the king of the Jews. Jesus was different from earthly kings. Jesus became Christ the king by his death. And God established his throne to last forever. Frankincense was used as an incense in the temple worship. Frankincense was mixed with other ingredients, and its powder was placed in front of the Ark of the Covenant, where God appeared. When people brought the grain offerings, frankincense was added to them before burning the offerings. God came down and met his people in the tabernacle, and frankincense was an essential ingredient for the tabernacle worship. So from these, we can conclude that frankincense that the Magi brought signifies that Jesus came down and tabernacled or dwelt among us. Jesus came as a mediator to bridge God and his creation. As frankincense was burnt as an offering, Jesus came to consume himself totally for our salvation. Myrrh was used as an anointing oil to sanctify articles in the tabernacle, including the tent, the Ark of the Covenant. It was also used to anoint priests. In the gospel, myrrh was used to balm the dead bodies. Jesus offered wine mingled with myrrh on the cross. After his death,
Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and used to bury Jesus. So the myrrh that the Magi brought signified that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, our priest and our king. It also indicates that Jesus came to die for our salvation. Now, a captivating thing to note is how people extract frankincense and myrrh. Both of them are raisins extracted from trees in the Burseraceae family, also known as the torchwood or incense family. Frankincense is made from the dried sap of Boswellia trees, while myrrh comes from the lifeblood of a Compifora. How do they extract the sap? They injure trees without killing them. You might have seen how people get some sap out of trees. That's how they do. And trees produce gum-like resin to heal wounds. And the sap is harvested to make frankincense and myrrh. Doesn't this describe precisely the suffering of Christ, as Isaiah said? He was wounded by our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes, we are healed. The presence of shepherd and those three gifts at his birth point to the death of Jesus consistently, but there are more. The description of where and how Jesus lay speak of his death. Luke's gospel says, Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger. An angel told the shepherd, "This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And the shepherd went and found exactly as the angel said. They found the baby wrapped in a manger. In the description of the Luke's gospel, baby wrapped in a manger were repeated three different times, which means a baby wrapped in a manger was the central focal point of the nativity scene. The same scene was the sign of his death, the death of the Messiah, 33 years later. The baby Jesus was wrapped with the cloth and was laid in the manger, was seen in the same fashion. The swaddling cloth was made of stripes of linen, right? And that's what they practiced in the ancient times, and that's what they do still today. When the babies are born, they wrap the babies tightly with cloth. How about the manger? The manger was an animal feeding trough. We usually picture it made of wood, but hundreds of archaeological findings today show that it was carved out of stone. People saw a similar scene to the nativity scene in Jesus' death. He was a man, but became like a helpless baby before the cross. After he died, his body was wrapped in cloth and buried in a stone tomb. In Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul saw the humility of Christ in his birth and his death. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We see Jesus' death in his birth, and both in his birth and in his death, we see humility. Humility was at the center of Christmas and the crucifixion. What does this imply? People at every age must have the humility to experience the true Christmas and the true crucifixion. We tend to require qualification to relate to others. Is he or she good enough to be loved by me? If Christ had asked this question, Christmas and crucifixion would have never happened, for we hardly satisfy his qualifications and would have been hopelessly lost. We were not worthy to deserve the love of Christ. But he humbled himself to come to love us. In summary, humility is an indispensable seed for us to grow love. Let me share with you an illustration of that. The history shows a rocky relationship between Abraham Lincoln and George McClellan. They first met when Lincoln was an Illinois Central Railroad attorney and McClellan was the company's vice president. McClellan thought Lincoln lacked legal expertise, and his cynical attitude continued until much later. The time passed, the Lincoln became the president, and McClellan the general of the Army of the Potomac. McClellan was being hailed as the Napoleon of the war. McClellan constantly argued for more reinforcement and became increasingly insubordinate to Lincoln. But Lincoln tolerated McClellan's disobedient actions. On one occasion, Lincoln called at McClellan's home to consult him about a military matter. The general had gone to a reception. Lincoln waited for a considerable time. And finally, the general returned. He walked down the hall and ascended the stairs to his bedroom. Although word had been given to him about his visitor. After some minutes, a second message was sent to him. Word came back that General McClellan had gone to bed. Lincoln never spoke of that humiliating incident, but he did not call again on McClellan until the great crisis of September 1862, when he and Halleck went to McClellan's house and asked him to take charge of the defeated and disorganized Army of the Potomac, which Lee had defeated in the Second Battle of Bull Run. When Lincoln's friend complained about his toleration of the attitude of McClellan, Lincoln simply said, "Why? I would be willing to hold McClellan's horse if only he will give victory to our army." Lincoln did not mind the humiliation because of his love for the country.
as Christ did not care about being humiliated to love us. How about us? How do we relate to others? Do we love only those who are lovable? If we have the humility of Christ, we can even love our enemies. Let us practice humility during this Christmas. Reconcile with our loved ones and experience the true Christmas in our hearts. Amen.
As we enter our time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings, just a reminder, you can either leave your offerings in the plate at the back of the church, or you can drop them off at the church or mail them into the church. And now we'll hear from our sanctuary choir.
Go ahead. Two more.
Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gift of your birth, for the gift of salvation we receive from your cross. So we give you this offering of thanksgiving and ask you to bless it and use it to proclaim the good news of Jesus through the mission and ministries of your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
If you would please remain standing for our closing hymn, Joy to the World.
The world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and flock, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, no thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is from, far as the curse is from, far as the curse is from. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, no one can deny that you came to this earth and worked on the faith of the earth. No one can deny that you died in Jerusalem without any sin, and we accept your sacrificial death as the very offering given unto God for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for your coming, for your suffering of death on the cross. And may we have this faith in your love. You loved us so much, you came and gave your life for our salvation. And may we become the agent of your love we have received from you, so that people may hear this good news of your love through us. So empower us as your disciples, and send us forth back to the world that we may go and preach the goodness of your coming and your death. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. I will go with you each hour every day. Go now in faith, stand. steadfast, strong, and true. Though he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love and show you believe. Reach to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in peace, in faith, and in love. Amen. Amen. Amen.